We continue our study in Colossians 1, verses 21 through 23. The text reads, "And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." In our last study, we saw that Jesus had made peace with God for believers. We read in verse 20 of chapter 1 the last time that Christ, having made peace through the blood of his cross, having made peace with God for believers. What glorious news we had heard in our last study of being reconciled to God and now having peace with God. Paul goes on to remind the believers in our text of what they were when they came to know this peace through Jesus Christ. Our text reads, "And you once were alienated." Paul is going to show us three things in our text: what we once were, what we are now, and what we must do now as a result of who we are. We are to now live out the truth of who we are now. Paul's going to tell us this is who we once were, who once were alienated and enemies, yet now God has been reconciled. Yet now he has reconciled us in the body of his flesh to death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith you once were. He has now reconciled you, and now you must continue in the faith. The scripture says that we were alienated. You know, you hear very often from people how people say, "Oh, I'm not that bad. He's a pretty good person. He has a good heart." But that is not, brothers and sisters, how the scripture describes human beings. That is not what the scripture teaches. It teaches us in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. This is the condition of men and women outside of Christ. "And you he made alive." This was our condition. "Who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all of us, every human being, we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." That's what our text means about being alienated. You were alienated. You were cut off from God. You were dead to God. You were rejected. You were cursed. You were an enemy of God. You were hostile to God. Men and women, boys and girls, are not relatively good. The scripture says that we are evil. We are evil. We are born cursed. We are born in Adam, and therefore we are cursed. Sin came into the world, And it came into the world through us little sinners. We are born sinners. Sin came in through Adam. It was imputed to us, and we were all born sinners, dead in sin. So it says, and he made you alive. Who were dead? You were dead in trespasses and sins. That is what our condition was apart from Christ. When Christ made peace through the blood of his cross, that was our condition. You once were alienated from God. We were dead in sins and trespasses. We walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Well, who in the world is that? That's the devil. We walked according to this world, the ways and the means of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the devil, Hasatan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. You have sons of disobedience, those dead in the sins and trespasses, among whom also we all of us, once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. That's not people teach, we're all children of God. We're all created by God, but we're not the children of God. You're either a child of God or you're a child of wrath. But the good news in that text was, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. So this was your condition. You were alienated. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive. This is what it means about being born again, about being reconciled. We were dead in trespasses, but we made alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. This is what Paul is teaching in our text. You were alienated, and you were enemies in your mind. Enemies in your mind. That's the condition of men and women. Enemies, alienated, and enemies. Romans 5, verses 6 to 10 teaches us this. When we were still without strength, that was your condition. Dead in sins and trespasses, without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You weren't godly. You weren't holy. You were ungodly, the scripture says. Without strength, ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us. We just read about his love in Ephesians. God demonstrates his own love towards us. And that while we were still sinners, without strength, ungodly sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. In order to make peace with God, that we would be reconciled, that we would have peace with God because we've been reconciled. The enemy has been reconciled. This was our condition. Without strength, ungodly, still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9 of Romans 5. Much more than having now been justified by his blood. We have that in the text about the blood being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. All of us are born into this world under the wrath of God. This is a bleak picture. But the good news is that Christ died for the ungodly, for those without strength, those that are still sinners. And it says in verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. How? Through the death of his son. Much more. Having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Brothers and sisters, This is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is straight up the condition of men and women and boys and girls about being reconciled, being justified, being brought to Almighty God. This isn't recipe preaching. This isn't you can have a happy life now, a clappy life now, your wife, your children, your husband, your aunt, your uncle, your grandmother, the dog, the cat, the house. Your job, your finances, this is the gospel, and this is the reality of what Christ has done for men and women. We are so far today from the gospel of Jesus Christ, you hear everything from a pulpit but the gospel. What was the condition of men and women? Look at Romans 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. The carnal mind, that is everybody apart from Christ. The carnal mind is enmity. It's an enemy of God. It's against God. And it's not subject to the law of God. I can tell you the law of God all day long, and you will not obey it. Because the carnal mind is enmity towards God. Now I'm talking specifically to the unsaved. You that would think that you are seeking after God, that you want to follow him, that you want to follow his law, that you want to do this, you make vows, you make promises, you say, I'm going to get better, I'm going to try harder, I'm doing my best, and on and on and on. It says you can't. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. But after you're reconciled to God, after he has made you alive, after you become a believer and the Holy Spirit indwells you, he gives you a new heart. He writes the law of Christ on that new heart. He turns your will. He changes your desires. He empowers you. The Holy Spirit empowers you then to follow Christ, as we'll see in our text in Colossians. So this is what you once were. You once were. People think men and women are basically pretty decent. That is not what the scripture said. Men and women may be pretty decent when you compare ourselves one to another. But when you compare yourself to God Almighty, guess what? You find out you're not holy and you're not blameless and you're not above reproach. You are all of those things. You're against all those things. You're unholy. You are to blame. And you are not above reproach. But the good news of the gospel is in the body of his flesh through death, he has made peace so that we can approach God even though we were aliens, we were enemies. And it says we were aliens and enemies in your mind by your wicked works. You were wicked. You are an enemy of God. You showed it how? In your actions. And your actions. Some people say, that's not right. I'm blamed for Adam's sin. I'm guilty under Adam. Yes, that is true. However, you are guilty in your own actions. You haven't kept the law of God. You haven't, quote unquote, kept the golden rule. I do unto others as they do unto me. That's not true. That's not true at all. You've broken any vow you've made, any kind of rule you came up with the commands of God, the law of Moses, with the law of man. You have not kept the law. But yet, the good news is that God has been reconciled. You have been reconciled with God through Christ, in the body of his flesh, through death, having made peace through the blood of the cross. You once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has been reconciled. He has reconciled us. As I said earlier, in our text there's three things. This is once you once were, you were aliens. But now you have been reconciled. to God Almighty through Jesus Christ. Reconciled. Peace has been made. You have been reconciled. At one time you were cursed. Now you're blessed. You were dead. You have been made alive. You were a sinner. Now you have been made a saint. A great exchange has taken place. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 and 21, we read, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that for this reason, in order that we might become the righteousness of God in him, in Christ." You have to be reconciled to God. And what's taking place is Christ became sin for us. He became sin for us. The one that was sinless became sin for us in order that we might become the righteousness of God. What a statement. You talk about a great exchange from a sinner to a saint. A sinner to a saint. From the curse to be blessed. What a glorious truth that is. And that's why Christ can present us holy and blameless, because we have become the righteousness of God. When God sees you, child of God, when God sees the believer today, he sees Christ. He doesn't see your sin. Your sin was nailed to the cross. Christ took your sin to the cross. He became sin for us. As I said earlier, this is a recipe preaching. This is the gospel. This is the good news of the gospel. Do you know this good news? Or do you sit on the teachers that teach you using recipe preachers? Follow 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 these steps and this will happen. That's recipe preaching. There's no power in that. The power is in Christ. 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 It's all about Christ. Christ is everything. Yet now, but now, he has reconciled you. Cursed to bless, sinner to saint. And how is this accomplished? How can this glorious truth happen to you and to I and to maybe one listening today who has never come to Christ? How is this possible? Look at Romans 5, 18 and 19. "Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation." What I mentioned earlier about Adam. "Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men." Adam sinned. Sin came into the world. Sin has come down to each and every human being who ever has been born, resulting in condemnation. "Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many," hallelujah, "will be made righteous." Do you know of this righteousness? Do you know of this righteousness that Christ will freely give to you for all that believe on him? Those that repent, those that change their mind of thinking I can save myself, that God will accept my good works somehow, some way, somehow. My denomination will save me. My creed will save me. My confession will save me. Some pastor will save me. Somebody, something will save me. Nothing will save you but Christ and Christ alone. Christ and Christ alone. What you were, alienated and an enemy. But now you have been reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. What is the purpose? To present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Do you possibly see yourself that way? Holy and blameless and above reproach? Or do you see your sin all the time, haunting you, condemning you? You have no peace. You're living with the past. The past haunts you. The future haunts you. Death is on the road and it's haunting you. Guilty, guilty, guilty. But for those who have come to Christ, they are presented holy and blameless and above reproach. That's what David was teaching us in Romans 4. I should say Paul was teaching us, using David as the example, in Romans 4, verses 6 to 8, about those whose guilt and shame just absolutely haunts them. Child of God, know this truth and meditate on it and love it and bask in the glory of it. Romans 4, verses 6 to 8. Just as David also describes the blessedness, excuse me, I beg your pardon for that. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God, notice, imputes righteousness apart from works. Imputes righteousness. That was the righteousness that I read to you from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. That he, Christ, became sin for us in order that we would become the righteousness of God. That righteousness is imputed to your account. It's not that you necessarily live a totally righteousness of God life, but that God imputes the righteousness of Christ to your account, and he views you as holy and blameless and above reproach. That's what David's talking about. Blessed is that man. You were cursed before. You were dead in your sins and trespasses. But now it says those are men and women are blessed of God, whom God imputes righteousness, notice, apart from your works. Apart from your works. Apart from your works. You're not saved by your works, whatever work system that you are on. Righteousness apart from works. Verse 7. Notice verse 6. Blessedness. Verse 7. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Do you know that truth? And I'm talking to the children of God that are always wondering if they're truly saved, if they truly can know about insurance, that they wouldn't know that their sins are forgiven, that their sins are covered, past, present, and future. All of your sin was either on Christ at the cross or it's on you for all eternity. One or the other. All sins, past, present, future. Wait a second, preacher. You can't tell people that they'll become antinomians. What is going to keep them from sinning? You got to whip them with the law, as Calvin said. No. Paul said you got to tell people what they are, which are indicatives, and that after you tell them the indicatives, this is what you are, this is who you are, now you tell them the imperatives. This is what you must do. When you tell people who they truly are in Christ, guess what? They begin to act that way. They begin to behave that way. They begin to understand that guy, that girl, that boy, that girl is dead. I am now a Christian. I am now a new creature. And then you begin to live out that reality. That is the reality. You've been born again. You're born anew. You're no longer that person anymore. Going on with Romans 4, verse 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Brothers and sisters, your sin is either imputed to Christ and his righteousness imputed to you, or it's not. An unbeliever, if you're listening today, you are under sin. Sin is owns you. You are a slave of sin. You are a slave to Satan. You might, I just said that you're like, oh, no, I ain't no slave. I don't practice witchcraft or blah, blah, blah. You are a slave to either unrighteousness or righteousness. You are a slave to one or the other. But the good news is, and brothers and sisters, I'm talking to you in particular, not as much to an unbeliever, to the believer, that you would understand that you have an imputed righteousness, that your lawless deeds are forgiven, that your sins are covered, that the Lord will not impute sin. And when you come to understand these truths, it sets you free to love the Lord, to serve the Lord, to adore the Lord, to worship the Lord. You're not every single day, I'm trapped by sin, I'm a slave of sin, woe is me, and on and on and on. You realize you're a saint, and guess what? You start acting like a saint acts. And when you sin, you repent, you get up, and you continue on your way to the celestial city. You continue on to glory. This is the beauty of the gospel. And the gospel is so obscured today. Christ is so hidden today. And I'm not talking for the world. I'm talking to the believers, to the ecclesia, to the children of God, to those that are, quote unquote, in the church. The good news of our text is mind-blowing. While you're in Romans, flip over to Romans 8. And another truth, brothers and sisters, to get down into your soul, Romans 8, verses 30 to 34. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Look at those truths. You were an alien, alienated from God, an enemy, but now, now, those he called, he justified. Those he justified, these he also glorified. What glorious truths. Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? What are you going to say now? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? It's God who justifies. Verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The Father didn't spare his son. He sent his son to the cross in order that we could be reconciled to him. These truths, brothers and sisters, you once were an alien, you were an enemy. Now you have been reconciled to Almighty God. You've been reconciled to him through the death of his son. Verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. God is not going to condemn you. He justified you. Who's bringing a charge? Satan will bring charges. Friends, family, enemies will bring charges. Your own conscience will bring charges against you. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, he's risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. It says that Christ lives forevermore to make intercession for us. Christ, brothers and sisters, is interceding for us, pleading for us as we journey home. He sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. He tells us to come boldly into the throne room of grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. This is what you once were, alienated, enemies of God. And Christ has come, and he has reconciled you to the Father. You're no longer his enemy. You're his friend. And more than a friend, you're his son now. You're a joint heir with Christ. You're seated in heavenly places. Let me just stop right there and say, let me ask you something. You heard all of these truths. And as you're hearing these truths, are you rejoicing? Are you worshiping God? Or are you saying, wow, you know, considering all these things are true, let me go out and sin up a storm? Or are you saying, wow, if the Father loved me like that, that he gave up his own son, that Christ loved you like that, that he would go to a cross and die for you, what is your response to that? What is your response to that? Is it not, shall I not obey and worship and love and adore a God that has done this for me? Because if you say, well, you know, now I got a free ticket to sin, well, then you're probably still dead in your sins and trespasses. Because Paul, over and over and over in his writings, he teaches the same way. He uses indicatives for a couple of chapters, and then he comes in with imperatives. Indicatives indicate what you are, this is what you are, this is who you are, this is what you once were. Now, therefore, it is imperative that you behave this way. Now, considering the fact that you are a child of God, that you are this, that you are the other thing, now this is what you must do. So he says in our text, back to our text, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. You were this way, yet now this is taking place. Yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Why? For this reason, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Now, do you really believe that? That you will be presented, you will be given as a present to God the Father from Christ the Son, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Holy, blameless, and above reproach. Or do you see all your flaws, all your weakness, all your failures? If you do, look to Christ. Look to the author and the finisher of our faith. Christ sees us. I should say the Father sees us in Christ. And now I read to you, you once were alienated. This is what you were. Yet now, this is what you are. And verse 23 of our text tells us, this is what you must do now. The first two verses, 21 and 22, are indicative. This is what you are. Now, verse 23 is the imperative. This is what you do. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. You're not moved away from the hope of the gospel. You have faith to the end. You continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. You heard the gospel. You certainly heard it today. The hope of the gospel. Christ dying for sinners. Reconciling them to God Almighty through his blood. The blood of the cross. Reconciled to God. Sinners brought to God Almighty. Justified. Become saints. Glorified. No charges. No condemnation. What glory? I mean, you talk about the gospel presented. This is the gospel presented. This is the gospel that will change your life. All these things that's going on in quote unquote the Church of Jesus Christ today is far removed from what you're hearing today. Because what you're hearing today will offend people. It will cause anger in people. They will come to the point of, you got to be kidding me. I can't believe these truths. Well, read your Bible. I was quoting to you from the Bible. I wasn't quoting to you the opinions of men and women. I was reading the scripture to you. This is what you were. This is who you are. Now, Paul is saying, basically, now act that way. Behave that way. Live out that truth. That is the reality of who you are now. You once were. Now you are this. So now walk and behave that way. And one of the ways we do that, look at the last part of that verse. Don't move away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister, became a servant. We're all called to preach to everyone. And whatever your circle of influence is, you have those that preach out in the open, those that preach on the radio and TV and the internet and on and on and on. And you have those that preach in their neighborhoods, on their job, to their families, to their children, to their spouses, to relatives, aunts, uncles, parents, on and on. The Holy Spirit uses all of us in all different ways, in all different circles of influence. But those that have that good news, as you fall in love with Christ more and more, you want others to know that truth. The Holy Spirit, as I said, he comes and lives inside you, and then he begins to change your desires and turn your will to accomplish the purposes of God in your life. Before, when you were alienated, you lived for yourself, or maybe lived for your family. But after you've come to Christ, after you've been brought to the Father by the blood of Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside you, and he changes your will, he changes your desires, and the desire being that when the Holy Spirit come, that he would glorify Christ. Christ was glorified here today. The scripture is all about Christ from the beginning to the end, in types and shadows. And then in the Gospels, we see his appearance. We see the ushering in of his kingdom. We see Christ all throughout the scripture. The meaning of life is this: Christ. Everything else is secondary. I don't care what it is. Everything in this world is secondary to Christ. And why would that be? Why would that be? Well, we read in Colossians 1, for by him, Christ, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. What an unbelievable truth. Who is this carpenter? Who is this one born in Nazareth? Who is this man? He is God, and he has created all things, and they're through him, and they're for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And this is the one that our text lifts up. This is the one who I lifted up today. This is the one who, if you have never come to Christ, I'm begging with you, pleading with you, imploring you, on the behalf of God Almighty, to come to him for salvation. Look to Christ today and be justified. Come to Christ today and have your sins covered. Blessed is the one whose sins are covered. And brothers and sisters, if you're listening today, know these truths. Christ said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Come out from under that cloud of confusion of modern day Christendom. Come to the scripture. Come to Christ daily. Moment by moment, and adore him and worship him and enjoy him and taste and see that the Lord is good.